Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts? Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. My name is Emily Chadbourne and I am your host, I think, I guess, I don't know. Is that what I call myself? I've never done one of these before, but fuck it. It's my podcast. I'll call myself what I want. My name is Emily Chadbourne and I am your host. There we go. Now, before we get into today's topic, I really want to shout out to my fellow coach and friend, Erica Kramer. Erica is an absolute legend and she's known as the Queen of Confidence. She's a confidence coach. And if you haven't checked her out, you absolutely should. She actually has her own podcast called The Confidence Chronicles. And it is bloody brilliant. I just want to play you the message that Erica sent me just this afternoon.
When in the hell is this podcast of yours coming out? Do we need to have a podcast for Lazy Girls Guide Day and just get your shit sorted? Because I'm waiting for it. It's going to be amazing. I love you.
Now, Erica has been on at me for ages to get off my ass and launch this podcast. But this message, fuck man, this one was different. It was the word lazy. It was like a shot to the heart. A shot to the heart and you're too... I don't know the words. I don't know how that song goes. I shouldn't have started singing it. I am cutting this bit. So the word lazy kind of made me want to vomit in my own mouth, really. Now, I don't actually think that Erica thinks I'm lazy at all. And I would never describe myself as lazy. But it did get me thinking, what are my reasons for procrastinating on this project? I sat down with a piece of paper, literally this was like half an hour ago, right? I sat down with a piece of paper and I thought, right, get it out of your head. I listed out all of the excuses that I had been bringing up that had been stopping me from sitting down and recording this first episode. So here they are. Number one, I'm too busy running a retreat in Bali. I ran a retreat in Bali in February and it is now May. So, immediately that one fell. Number two, I'm writing my book. I am indeed writing my book and I feel like I might be writing this motherfucking book forever, to be completely honest. And here's the thing, even when I finish the book, even when the book is published, even when you are sitting down with a cup of tea reading the book, I'll still be writing another book or I'll be writing something. I love writing. Writing will always be a part of my life. So that kind of got a bit flaccid quite quickly as well. The third thing was that I needed to find somewhere quiet to record the podcast because I live in a single glazed apartment on a really busy street. So you can hear the traffic noise really easily. And then I thought to myself, fuck me, my voice drowns out the sound of goddamn thunder. So I'm pretty sure that you are going to hear my voice with a microphone over a passing bus in the background. And I'm also sure that you guys won't give a shit if you can hear some passing traffic. So here I am. I've got three excuses and all three of them just deemed unacceptable to me immediately. The fourth one was that I am launching my Next Level Results mentorship program. So it's my signature 6-month program that I have put my heart and my soul into. It is for women who want next level results. They're bored of treading water, they're plateauing in life, they don't know what it is that they want, but they've got this sort of discontent around where they are. And I'm really proud of it and it's fucking awesome and my clients are getting amazing results. But here's the thing, I launched that in March and it's now May. So although I am heavily invested and spend many of my working hours in that group and coaching clients, I can't blame the launch of that project on not taking any action with this project. Then I came on to my fifth point, and this one shocked even me, actually. I was quite amazed that this one came out. I don't have an appropriate photo for the podcast. So I need to do a photo shoot, but I'm carrying an extra couple of kilos, so I need to wait to lose the flab before I do the photo shoot so that I've got a photo for this podcast. Here's the thing about this, right? I am 30 fucking eight, my friends, and I am not ever going to lose this weight because I cannot be asked anymore. I am no longer that worried about how I look because I've spent 37 and a half years of my life worrying that I wasn't pretty enough or I wasn't thin enough and flogging myself at the gym. And quite frankly, I'm bored of that bullshit. I'm happy in my own skin, so I may as well just get on and do a photo shoot. And actually, I've got loads of banging photos. So here I am, right? I'm standing here with this piece of paper mocking me. I've got five excuses and none of them is going to stand up in court. And I can't claim to be busy. I look at Erica, right? Now, this woman has two really small preschool kids. She is also writing a book. She's also got her signature program. She's also coaching clients. She's also running a retreat. She's also got this amazing podcast, which she records from her car and doesn't give a shit about the background traffic noise. And I had to kind of have a little chat with myself because if I'm going to be really honest, guys, I had a nap this afternoon, a 40-minute nap, and it was glorious. But I don't get to say that I don't have time. And there is one thing that I have learned over the years in personal development and in working for myself and in business, and it is that you don't get to have results and excuses. You can have one or the other, but you can't have both. You can either have the result that you're after or you can have an excuse. Do I want the result or am I going to continue flapping around these excuses like they mean something? But here's the thing. Excuses do mean something. And in my experience, they mean fear, especially when these excuses are just elegant ways of procrastinating. One thing I know to be true about fear is that it is more scary when you try and ignore it and when you try and run from it. One of the best ways to deal with fear is to look it dead set straight in the eye and kind of like bring it on. So I sat and I asked myself, what am I in fear of? And how am I using these excuses to stay safe? And I came up with six things, and I'm going to share them with you now. The first was I was scared that I wouldn't have enough content to share. That once I started this podcast, I would be committed to it. And what if I didn't have anything to say 1 week? The second was, what if no one listens? Which can loosely be interpreted to the fear of failure. The third was, what if too many people listen? The fear of success. The fourth, what if I make a twat out of myself? The fear of judgment. The fifth, what if I don't enjoy it? Because really my sort of favorite medium is video. And I think the fear around that was, you know, my facial expressions are kind of what makes me funny. So will I translate on audio only? And then the sixth thing that came out was, what if people don't like me? And that just like channels right down to the three universal fears. Am I worthy? Am I loved? And do I belong? And I guess really wrapped up in all of this is like, what if I fuck it up? You know, what if I try and I fuck it up? So this is where I found myself 20 minutes ago. And I realized that what I had been doing almost unconsciously was asking myself, what if it goes wrong? What if it goes wrong? What if it goes wrong? And I hadn't given myself the opportunity to shift the perspective and ask myself, what if it goes right? What if I do this podcast and someone listens to it and it changes the way that they think, which means that it shifts the way that they feel and the way that they act. And as a result of that, they manage to manifest a different reality for themselves. What if I actually really help people with this podcast? What if it turns out that I love not having a camera in my face and I get to look like shit more of the time? What if people share this podcast because they love it so much? What if someone walks into work next week and goes, hey, Sad Sack Sue in the corner, you should listen to Emily Chabon's Unashamedly Human podcast. You might be happier as a result of it. And then Sad Sack Sue listens to the podcast and is less of a sad sack. How much nicer could the world be? What if people love it so much that they want to join my community? What if people love it so much that they become my clients? I'd have more cash. I'm all right with that as an option. To be completely honest with you, I would be all right with that as an outcome. And the moment I put myself in this higher vibrational state, the moment I started using my power of imagination and my power of perception to see and feel and hear and taste and smell something that I wanted as opposed to something that I was scared of, immediately my whole energy around it shifted. And everybody, you included, has this power at your disposal. We all have the power of imagination and we all have the power of perception. And most of us are using our imagination to go, what if shit thing? What if terrible thing? What if failure? But how much more action would we take if we just used this gift of perception and went, what if amazing thing? What if abundance? What if awesomeness? So in this new high vibrational state, I went back to my list of fears and I looked at them really objectively. So I started with the first one, content. Okay, the fear of not having enough content. Well, maybe, just maybe, one day I will run out of things to say. It's unlikely, let's be honest. But in that case, what would I do? Well, I would just ask you guys. And please, if you've got a question or if you've got a topic or if you want me to cover something in these podcasts, just email me. Just go to info@emilychabon.com and ask me anything, as long as it's like appropriate. I'm more than happy to discuss it on Unashamedly Human. So all of a sudden, that fear stopped being a fear. The second one, what if no one listens? I was like, well, if no one listens, then there is no fear because no one has heard it. The real fear is, what if not enough people listen? And then I thought, I only need one person to hear this podcast and to think my life is a bit better as a result of listening to that, for this whole project to be worth it. That's it. And if I fail, define what failure means to you. If it doesn't become a roaring success, then along the way, I will have to have learned a shit ton of lessons. So is it ever going to be a failure? No, I'm either going to produce something that is of good quality content that other people are going to appreciate, or I'm not. And if I don't, I get to learn from that experience. So I can't fail in this. I can either take the feedback, no one's listening, Em, and adjust accordingly, or, well, that's it, really. That's it. There's no awe. If it's shit and people are like, oh, nice try, Em, but that was rubbish, mate, then I will work out why it's rubbish and course correct. And the moment I remembered that I have complete and total and utter free will and the ability to learn and to upskill and to grow and to evolve and to develop, all of a sudden, that wasn't a fear anymore either. The third fear on my list, the fear of success. Now, this is a really interesting fear. And I think a lot of people fear success more than they fear failure, but they don't know about it. And when it comes to the fear of success, I think it can be chunked down into sort of three categories, if you like. The first is the fear of loss. I see this quite a lot with the women that I coach. they're actually scared that if they become successful, they will lose their tribe. That if they earn more money than their husband will feel emasculated and leave them. Or if they earn more money than their family unit is comfortable with, their family will judge them and not love them as much. Or if they are successful and have to travel a lot or work a lot, that they won't get a chance to see their friends anymore. And so their friends will fall away and they will be alone. And it's a very common fear. But it's been my experience that the people who really love you, the people who are growing with you and evolving with you and leveling up with you, the people who are in tune with themselves, the people who are here for your highest intention, they're not going anywhere. And inevitably, as you evolve and grow, some people are going to drop off a little bit. You know, your standards change, you change, and that's perfectly normal and perfectly natural. And not all relationships are designed to last forever, romantic or platonic. But if you've got people in your life who can't be happy for you in your success, then let them fucking go. My God, if you are in a relationship with a guy who is not emotionally evolved enough and hasn't sorted out his own shit to be able to handle you and your success, see you later, mate. If you have got friends who sneer at you or judge you or don't want you to be happy and successful and abundant, they're not fucking friends. Let them go. And often I think people try and cling on to unresourceful relationships in the fear of not having any relationship. You know, well, this is a shit friend, but at least it's a friend. Actually, in my experience, you kind of got to clear the space for the universe to provide the people, the experiences, the circumstances, the opportunities that you are looking for to reach your highest intention. And sometimes that means people might fall off a little bit on the way. And you just let them go with love and compassion. My Kundalini teacher says this thing at the end of every practice, which I love. She says something like, with the people who are aligned with our highest intention, please take a step forward. And the people who are not aligned with our highest intention, please take a step back and let them leave our life with grace and love. And I love that. If you are not here to help me achieve my highest intention, take a step backwards. And likewise, if I'm not here to help you reach your highest intention, I will take a step backwards. And so the fear of loss when it comes to the fear of success, I get it, I see it, I feel it, I am it, but I always have to sort of keep reminding myself that as long as I am on path, as long as I'm on track, as long as I'm contributing, as long as I'm coming from a place of love, then the right people will see that and will champion me and will be by my side as that happens. The next is the fear of the process. You know, success for a lot of people feels quite overwhelming. And sometimes it can feel quite overwhelming for me because I think I still have this sort of weird paradigm. And a paradigm is a collection of thoughts, experiences, beliefs, memories, borrowed and your own, that create our reality. And I sort of still have this outdated belief, really, that success means having less time. Successful people are really busy. Whereas actually, the more success you have, the more time freedom you have because you can outsource. And even this podcast now, the process of doing this for me is very simple because I'm outsourcing all the bits that I'm either not very good at or I don't care about or don't interest me. So the bit that delights me about this podcast is doing what I'm doing now, which is sitting here and talking to you. The bits that don't delight me are anything to do with the technical side of it, including, I'm going to be really honest, plugging in the microphone. So somebody else is doing that for me. I did actually plug in my own microphone on this occasion, but you know, somebody else is producing it, somebody else is uploading it, somebody else is doing the iTunes thing. At some point, I'm sure I'm going to ask you to subscribe to something. I don't know what that means. Rate it something, do something like that to make more people listen to it. I don't get that bit of it. And the more success that I have in my career, the more I can outsource the bits that are not my genius. A great mentor of mine once said to me, Em, don't waste your time trying to get better at the things you're not very good at and that you don't enjoy doing. Because you'll only ever be mediocre at them. Instead, find the thing that you're good at and the thing that you love and become masterful at that. And while I am doing that, the process of success is actually really quite smooth. And then the third thing is the fear of the outcome. For a long time, I used to worry, you know, would I be able to handle success? Everything, you know, changed tomorrow and I was suddenly flying around the world and I met Oprah and I published 15 books next week and my podcast goes to number one on all channels. And like, that is never going to happen because that's not the way that it works. You know, there's a saying in the entrepreneurial community. I don't know if entrepreneurial is a word, but I'm rolling with it. Oh, maybe it is a word. Anyway, there's a saying in the entrepreneurial community, which is that, you know, an overnight success takes 10 years to build. And it's so true. Success doesn't happen to you overnight. You are primed for success. You learn how to deal with the next level of success. And look, there are exceptions to that rule. The lottery winner who got loads of cash, didn't know what to do with it, acted like a twat, lost it all, went to prison. Everyone's heard those stories. But I think for the average Joe, for the majority of people, you know, you grow into your success. So the fear of loss, the fear of process, the fear of the outcome, all wrapped up in the fear of success. Again, when I really look at them and remind myself that I have my own free will, it's just not really that scary anymore. Then the fourth fear, the fear of judgment. The moment I went back to the fear of judgment in this sort of new high vibe state of what if it goes right instead of what if it goes wrong, just the voice inside my head arced up and was like, fuck them. If people want to judge you, let them judge you. Fuck them. They are jealous or they are fearful of something that you are triggering in them. Not your business. Let people judge you. Sod them. The only time you ever really need to listen to judgment is if your judgment of somebody else is actually a reflection of judgment of you. And I do listen very carefully to my judgment. I don't disregard it. Normally when I am judging someone else, and I am a judgmental bitch because I'm a human being, and normally when I'm judging somebody else, it's because there is something that's being triggered in me that I need to address. But when it comes to worrying about other people judging me, oh my God, the older I get, the less I give a shit. Judge me all you like because it's your crap, it's not mine. And I've got enough of my own crap. I can't be bothered to deal with yours as well. Nah, fuck that one off the list really quickly. Number five, what if I don't enjoy it? The fear of not enjoying it. And then I was like, well, I just stop, don't I? If I'm not enjoying this, I'm just going to stop doing it. Because again, I am 38 and I spent chunks of my life doing things that I didn't enjoy because I thought I should. I actually wrote a blog about this just last week. I was reading a book for book club and like slogging my way through this book because I felt like I should finish it because it was the recommended text and we'd be discussing it next week. And there's this one chick at book club, right? Her name's not Carol, but that's what I've called her in the blog. And for the purpose of this next 2 minutes, I will call her Carol. Carol is not my people, right? Which in layman's terms equates to she's a bit of a knob. And Carol has read every book under the sun. She knows everything about everything. She knows histories of personal lives of the authors and the Pulitzer Prize winners, and she's read reviews and she's a subscriber to the New York Times and Carol makes me feel, if I'm going to be honest, a bit inferior, right? So my judgment of Carol is the fear that I am not good enough. But the reality of the situation is this fear was forcing me to read this shit book for book club. Like, it's just not my genre. I don't care about the Wild West. I hate murder mysteries. It's just not my jam. And I was lying in bed the other night, forcing myself to read this book. And then I had this thought, which was, I'm not enjoying this. And I am only here once. I'm only on this planet once in my physical incarnation of Emily Chadbourne in this particular time, in this particular space. I'm only here once. What the fuck am I doing forcing myself to read a book to impress somebody that I don't like? So I'm going to rock up to book club next week and be like, nah, I didn't finish it because I thought it was shit. But let me tell you about this book I did read that I did really enjoy. Obviously, there are some things that we have to do. Sometimes we all have to do the shit that we don't want to do. you know, really annoying, I have to do my taxes, but I still have to do them. Really, really, really annoying, I have to wash my car. I still need to do it. Really annoying, sometimes I have to wash my own body, but I still have to do it because I don't want to be a stinky bitch. So yes, life is full of things that we have to do sometimes, but life is also made much harder by a lot of people because they feel they should do stuff. So you know what? If I do 6 or 7 of these podcasts and then they just stop, it's because I wasn't enjoying it. The next fear and the last fear on my list was the fear that they won't like me and that this will just be a bit shit and that I'll fuck it up. And the reality of the situation is there are some of you listening right now who probably don't like me. You're probably wondering why you're still listening to this. You don't like that I swear. You know, you're not into me. That's all good, man. You know what? There are 7.4 billion people on this planet. I don't know all of them, but I do know some of them. And I think some of those people are dickheads. So it just goes to figure that some of those people think I'm a dickhead. Not everybody is going to like me. And in fact, by trying to make everybody like me, I become someone I don't like. And really, the only opinion that should matter to me is mine. The only person that really genuinely, truly needs to love me and see me and like me and be okay with me is me. And the more I am okay with me, the more I do like me, the more I find other people who also like me. And that's a really beautiful, wonderful thing. So if people don't like it, that's okay. And then the only other thing I wanted to mention about this was once I'd gone through those 6 fears and kind of really looked at them objectively and like kind of logicked them, I suppose, took the emotion out of it a little bit and kind of brought them out into the light where they seemed less scary than they did in the depths of my fucked up clusterfuck brain. The thing that was kind of residual or left over was, what if I fuck it up? You know, what if I don't get it right? Whatever that means. And so then I made a promise with myself that I was going to fuck this up because it's the first time I've done a podcast. I've never sat in front of a microphone in my noisy flat by myself and done this before. And I have to be allowed to fuck it up a bit. I have to be allowed to get it wrong so that I can learn a better way of doing it or a more efficient way of doing it or a more articulate way of doing it. I'm allowed to fuck this up. This is not meant to be perfect. And that's what I stand for. I stand for being unashamedly human. Fuck me, I hashtagged it. Hashtag unashamedly human. And what that means is I'm okay with not being right. I'm okay with not being perfect. I'm okay with getting it wrong. I'm okay with failure. I'm okay with where I'm at, but I have a burning desire to be better, which means that whenever I fuck it up, whenever I fall down, whenever I don't get it right, whenever it's not perfect, I get to reflect and go, how can I do it a bit better tomorrow? And that's all I can ever ask of myself. So here I am recording my first episode of Unashamedly Human, and I'm pretty sure I fucked it up. And I know it's not perfect. And I'm just going to send it to my producer anyway, because I really want to be the demonstration of somebody who is brave enough and courageous enough to contribute what she knows to people that she hopes she can help. And to reassure people that being human is hard sometimes and that nobody's getting it right. And the thoughts and the fears and the dark places in your brain, you're not alone in those. You're not the only person who has fear. I've had to push through fear. I've had to examine the bullshit excuses, the procrastination. I've had to sit down with a pen and a paper and I've had to do my homework. And I've had to ask myself, hey, Em, what's going on here? What's really going on here? Not what are your excuses, what is really genuinely going on here that means that you've been talking about doing this podcast for 5 months and it hasn't happened yet. And it was only when my gorgeous, amazing friend Erica accidentally called me lazy that I began to really see a reflection of myself that I didn't like. And so I just examined that and I did it objectively. The universe is always showing you what you need to know. It's not lying to you. It actually doesn't care about whether or not it offends you. The universe is always giving you the feedback that you need. Everything that you need to know is right in front of you. The results that you are getting right now is a reflection of what is going on with you right now. And you have to learn how to look at that objectively so that you can do something about it and not fall in the victimhood of it. So when Erica called me lazy, well, she didn't call me lazy directly, I'll give her that. But when she said, do we need a lazy girl day? That for me was a real trigger. That was a, oh God, that didn't feel good. Is that how I am being? Is that how I'm presenting? Is that what the universe is telling me? Is that real? And so I had to kind of say, well, you know, my excuse of being busy whilst I was napping is kind of lazy, actually. Okay, so what's really going on here? Because I know I'm not lazy. So what is really going on here? And that's where I got to uncover these six wonderful, crazy mother-ass fears. And the moment I expose them, I can do something with them. I can kind of look them straight in the eye and go, do you know what? I know you're trying to keep me safe. But safe isn't where I want to stay. Safe isn't who I want to be. Safe doesn't change the world. So thank you, fears. And thank you all very much for listening. And most importantly, thank you, Erica, because without her, God knows when this podcast would ever have actually landed in your ears. I've also just realized I've been talking for about half an hour and I don't want these podcasts to go on forever because there ain't no one got time for that. Everyone's got short attention spans these days and I'd rather that you had the time to sit down to listen to two or three than slog your way through one or only ever get to listen to half an episode at a time. So I'm not going to talk about the thing that I was going to talk about. We'll save that for episode two. So I trust that this has been a really, I don't know, entertaining, useful trip through the tangled web that is my brain. And I will endeavor to continue to be really honest and really open and really unashamedly human with you in the hope that you too will be able to move through this life to further success and to do so with courage in your heart and knowing that you are not alone. Before I go, I just want to summarize the steps that I took in this sort of thought process that led me from procrastination and excuses to actual execution, because I want you to be able to use what you've heard today and implement it in your own life if you wish to. So the first step was that I heard the feedback that the universe was presenting to me. And in this case, it came from my friend Erica, but in lots of cases, it comes from me just really assessing where am I not getting the results that I want in my life right now. The second step is to write down what that resistance is. Now, in my case, it was a list of excuses, but really sort of nut out with a pen and paper, what is the resistance that I'm experiencing right now around this particular thing or this subject or this area of my life? The third step is to question this resistance, to question the excuses, to start asking yourself, what story am I creating around this? The fourth step is then to ask yourself, how is this story keeping me safe? What are those fears? List them out, get them out on paper, because when they are outside of you, when they are tangible, when you can look at them objectively, they become way less scary. And in some cases, as in mine, actually, they become a bit ridiculous. So step five is to take yourself from a low vibrational state to a high vibrational state by asking yourself a different what if story. So instead of catastrophizing, I want you to fantasize. Instead of saying, what if this could go wrong? You start saying, what if all this could go right? When you're in that high vibe state, and only when you're in that high vibe state, you can now look at step six, which is looking really objectively at the fears that you have just listed down. And I have another sort of process, a strategy, if you like, that I teach my clients around step six to allow them to deconstruct their fear. And in some cases, fear is really, really useful. I don't have time to go into that other strategy around step six right now because, let's be honest, I've been talking for forever. So I need to wrap this up. But I trust that those steps for now are a great starting point for you. So give them a go, play around with them, and ask yourself, what could you be doing that you are currently holding yourself back from doing? And let me know. I'd love to know what your insights are. I'd love to know what you think. I'd love to know what your experiences are. So hit me up, info@emilychadbourne.com, or hop over to my Facebook group, which is free to join, That Crazy Thing Called Life. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife, where I talk all things unashamedly human. My Insta stories, I am told, are kind of hilarious.